Chapter 3. The arrival was both spectacular and nothing special. Each of the members arrived by plane, the doors opening and urgency evident in their movement. Dan was the first to arrive, with Chuck and Sam coming on the same flight, followed by the members from British Columbia, Ontario, Nunavut, and Nova Scotia in that order. Shuttling each of the arrival back and forth towards the pier was a strawberry blonde woman, average height, with blue-green eyes and a perpetual smile. Something may be wrong, but she was so excited to be seeing her entire team in the same place for the first time in 5 years. Chloe was the person who brought them all together. She had the unique ability to not just read the heart of those blessed by Mother Nature, but pull them to her, like a sort of human magnetism. She looked at all their hearts and called them to her years ago. And together they became the first team of Canadian superheroes fighting on behalf of the environment. On this auspicious day, emotions were mixed. Everyone was excited to see each other, but the circumstances that brought them together were grave. There was something wrong, and they had to yet understand it, but they could each feel it. Chuck was having an animated conversation with the knee. Sam was laughing at a comment Bill made. Ghislaine was sharing in candied fish brought over by Besha. The members of the team were reconnecting after so many years apart. Each hero had been assigned an area to protect, and in leaving that area, they had to ensure someone else would cover it. While people who shared the same area would often collaborate, seeing those across the country was often arduous. As the last couple of people arrived, the members of the team were led onto a boat which took them into a deserted island off the shores of Yellowknife. This island held no cottages or signs of human habitation. There were just trees, rocks, insects, and fungi taking advantage of its isolated nature and the clear lack of human presence. Upon arrival, the team set up a campfire with Kevin and Kyle sourcing firewood together, Robin foraging a couple of plants to help with the kindling, and Bill putting everything together to set it all right. Besha and Chloe got to work making banak, while Denis and Chuck went to rustle up a couple of fish. Sam poured out a bottle of wine and the team took the moment to enjoy an amicable ambiance. Eventually, when everyone was properly settled and fed, it was time to get down to business. All of you were here because you felt the call, the plea for help from Mother Nature, Chloe started. Chuck's eyes widened. Was that what it was? Yes, Mother Nature has a way of letting her children know when things are not right. She's in grave danger. She called out to me, and through her heart, I witnessed her being sealed away by a horrible man. It was like I was a forced spectator, and when I tried to connect with his heart, I felt nothing. I fear we need to capture this man, alive, to question him on what he has done with Mother Nature and how he intends to atone for his sins. Chloe paused, taking the feelings of everyone around the fire. Chuck wasn't wearing his characteristic smile, and Bill's calming presence was not having an effect on the crowd. There was a moment of silence, and then Bill spoke up. Do we know the identity of this man? Chloe shook her head. While she could feel the individual's energies, this man had successfully invaded her ability. Denis then spoke up.
So this means that the first order of business is to figure out who we are looking for, and then go on a quest?
What about La Dame Nature? I think we should split up into teams and spend a group of us to look for her, Chuck said.
What are the repercussions of losing Nature? Kyle asked.
His comment brought about another turn to the conversation, and no one was entirely sure whether to go from there. Just because this one villain was on the warpath did not mean the others around the country would stop acting out.
Man, I hope La Dame Nature is alright, Chuck whispered.
His characteristic smile gone, as he remembered her fondly embracing him as a young child when he had no one to play with. Often on his own, Chuck had developed a complex personality which was now contained within two identical bodies. The division of self happened as he hit puberty and fully came into his powers, and through the combined authorities of himself, he had become a force to be reckoned with. Nature had been with him all the way, from the lonely days under the tree to the arduous teen years as two people, the stressful exam period studying outside on the grass, or the days working as an environmental scientist in the field. She was a teacher, constantly appearing as an older woman with braided black hair and bright forest green eyes, dimmed by her spectacles.
Although not your stereotypical outdoorsman, Chuck had a strong spiritual connection with nature and they got along famously. Sam stayed silent, reminiscing as well. She grew up on a farm, constantly interacting with animals and the outdoors. She remembered when she first met the physical entity of nature. She was chatting away with one of the horses when another child around her age came up to her and joined in. At first, Sam was thrown off. No one else seemed to be able to understand the horse, and this child had green hair with yellow eyes. She remembered looking into those eyes, thinking of sunflowers and her home in the parkland of Alberta. She and the child formed a friendship that endured the test of time. Every time she appeared, she mimicked Sam's new age. They grew up together, studied together at university, lived together, ate together. They were like sisters. Sam's eyes grew moist. "I'm sure he's okay," Denise said with certainty. When he thought of nature, he saw a muscular man, blue hair and wooden eyes, with a jawline that could cut steel. This was a man that held strong convictions and a duty to serve others. They met randomly during one of his wilderness adventures, as he completed an 8-day trek in Nunavut. As soon became apparent, they had been using the same trail. They connected quickly, bonding over a shared love of outdoor and became travel companions for the rest of the journey. Since then, nature would often appear on Denise's excursions. Robin, too, remained silent. She looked back at her first time in the wild forests of British Columbia, completely isolated from any cell phone coverage or internet connection, truly roughing it with her camping gear. She remembered hearing a beautiful melody coming from across the stream she had settled next to for the night. She crawled out of her tent hesitantly, armed with a flashlight and bear spray, conceivably ready for any surprises. Yet, she was still astounded. Standing on a protruding rock in the middle of the stream was a fake girl in a sky blue dress playing a fiddle and dancing an Irish jig. She had transparent dragonfly wings fluttering with the beat, a mess of her nettle hair in the shape of a bird's nest as one orbited around her head, and her eyes were a rich green, like an evergreen tree. Each of the forces had met nature on their own terms. Chloe saw a family member, Besha saw an ancestor, Kyle saw a mentor, Bill saw a colleague, and Gillian saw a guardian. 14 forces, 14 different ways to see nature, 14 different experiences with nature, 14 different relationships formed, each equally significant and deep. Chloe stepped forward. "Let's begin,"